Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey guys, happy Wednesday. I am Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. Our producer is the wonderful Sean Bates. I'm in my parents' living room in Terre Haute, Indiana, doing my show from here while my dad gets his heart worked on. Certainly appreciate everybody who has reached out to me on Twitch, text line, tweets. It's been really, really touching. So my dad had a massive heart attack and is getting some heart stents put in tomorrow. So things are finally looking up, but I know a lot of you have dealt with these kinds of things, and everybody at work has been great and has been really understanding. So I should be back in person in studio soon.
Looking forward to that. Definitely hoping that things continue to improve. They seem to be improving for your dad, at least based off of everything you're telling me. And yeah, that the fine doctors in Indianapolis are able to get him back in the house, because that is what we want. And everyone deals with this, but it's awesome that you're sharing this, because, you know, stuff like this brings everyone together. You know, we like to yell about sports and talk trash about James Harden and stuff. Wait, hang on. I'm not doing that anymore. You know, talk trash about Deshaun Watson. Wait, I'm not doing that anymore either. But, you know, these are the real things that we all, you know, deal with. And really, I hope that everything continues to go in the right direction, Vanessa. Seriously.
Well, I appreciate that. Paul's been awesome. And you know, it's something I usually don't share anything about my personal life on social media, but I knew I was going to be off air for a while. So, again, just appreciate everybody reaching out. Hey, unfortunately, I know a lot of people are over the Deshaun Watson talk, but he continues to dominate headlines. And Deshaun Watson certainly dominated the headlines at the NFL league meetings, which were in Florida. A lot of owners and media members asking Roger Goodell and other owners about not only the contract Deshaun was given, how that could impact things, but asking Roger Goodell about the possible punishments. There's a lot of angles here, Paul, and what happens with Deshaun Watson from a football perspective obviously is relevant, but also what happens from the perspective with this contract. This is something that impacted the whole league, really, from a player empowerment standpoint. When you look at the fact that Joe Burrow is going to have a contract soon, that's going to be up within the next year, Lamar Jackson, certainly with the Ravens. So this was a big talker.
Cleveland acted out of desperation in a way that one without a moral compass that's desperate often acts. And guess what? That's the whole NFL. So part of it is, this is probably a circumstance that we're not going to see again anytime soon, where a young, potentially elite quarterback is made available to the entirety of the NFL. So that contract was the sweetener when the Browns thought that they were out of it, even though Deshaun Watson says that the money had nothing to do with it. My ass.
Don't buy it.
Of course it did. I don't think that Lamar Jackson is going to get, though, what Deshaun Watson wants. And that's the next big domino to fall, I guess, as far as quarterback contracts across the NFL. Because, look, this is a guy who has won the MVP before. This is a guy who has played pretty well, but he hasn't been great. He hasn't been quite Patrick Mahomes. If you're Steve Piscotty, you're the owner of the Baltimore Ravens, you're looking at this contract and you're thinking to yourself, damn it, are you serious, Cleveland? Do we need to take your team again? What the hell? Like, that's what you're thinking. You're pissed off. And I kind of get it, because again, this contract's just so absurd compared to everything else that has been put out there. And now, all of a sudden, I think owners are scared, which is funny to see them squirm.
It is funny.
About having to give this out to the next quarterback. But I don't think Lamar Jackson, Vanessa, is going to get this kind of a deal.
Watson receiving, of course, that 5-year, $230 million fully guaranteed contract. That's $80 million more than the previous NFL record for fully guaranteed at money signing. So as you mentioned, owner of the Ravens, Steve Bisciotti, says, quote, Damn, I had a reaction to it, and it's like, damn, I wish they hadn't guaranteed the whole contract. I don't know that he should have been the first guy to get a fully guaranteed contract. To me, that's something that is groundbreaking, and it'll make negotiations harder with others. Bisciotti then added, quote, but it doesn't necessarily mean we have to play that game, you know? We shall see. If I was in bogged down negotiations with Lamar, then maybe I would have a quicker reaction to that news. Where I disagree with him there is where he says it doesn't mean we have to play that game. Eh, yeah. It's case by case, but it kind of means that you do. It kind of means that Patrick Mahomes, whose agent is Lee Steinberg, and Lee Steinberg did not get the same. It was a longer contract. It might have been more, but not as much guaranteed money for Patrick Mahomes. This changes things, and the ripple effects are real.
The bar has been raised, and now that you're in a situation, too, where Lamar Jackson's mom is his agent, you're going to have to really, I think, tiptoe your way towards an agreement that works for both parties. I mean, I guess that Baltimore can convince itself that they can find another guy like this. But, I mean, I don't think it's an extreme statement to say that Lamar Jackson, talent-wise, is the best quarterback that Baltimore's ever had. I mean, they had old Steve McNair. They had Joe Flacco for that 1 year where he was awesome, but for the most part, Joe Flacco was an above-average quarterback, sort of a different version of a Ryan Tannehill, more consistent on a year-to-year basis. This is the best guy you've ever had. You're going to find this guy again? And especially with where you generally draft every single year, towards the back of the first round, because that's where they got Lamar Jackson. You know, they did not have the first swing at quarterbacks in that draft class. They got to be careful here. And I get the idea of maybe not wanting to pay Lamar Jackson, but, I mean, what is Baltimore the last 2 years without him? They're nobody. They're nothing. He makes them relevant, and he got them the home field advantage back in 2019.
He certainly hasn't been the most consistent. There have been some issues with interceptions, but you're absolutely right as far as Steve Bisciotti needs to realize he's the best that they have had. All right, meanwhile, some of Watson's depositions got out there, the video depositions. And Cleveland, the Fox affiliate, Fox 8 in Cleveland, had tweeted this out and had released some of these depositions. So we're going to play a little bit of the audio. And the other voice, other than, of course, Watson's, that you'll hear is Tony Busby, who is representing the 22 women in the civil suits.
That's why I saw it on Instagram.
So you think you saw a story that involved her?
Definitely possible.
Definitely possible. Did you find her attractive?
That wasn't my intention, sir.
I didn't ask you what your intentions were.
I can't answer that. I have a girlfriend, so that wasn't my intention, sir.
Okay, so you can't answer that because you have a girlfriend?
Because that's not what I was looking for.
What did you want from her?
Just a massage.
Was she a massage therapist?
Yes, sir.
Licensed?
I'm not sure, sir.
Trained?
I'm not sure, sir.
Schooled?
I'm not sure, sir.
Did you tell the Texans you were doing that?
No, sir.
Did you tell your trainer you were doing that?
No, sir.
Pretty risky to go to some place you've never been before, to have somebody you didn't really know, you didn't know anything about their skill level, to give you a massage. So what I'm trying to figure out, Mr. Watson, is why you would post something on Instagram suggesting that you were in New York City when you were instead in Houston getting a massage.
On the advice of my lawyer, I assert my rights under the Fifth Amendment.
I mean, that one sounded like he was reading off of a script. So let's go through, right, Vanessa, all of the things that were said along the way there. First off, it was not my intention. When he was asked whether or not he found the massage therapist attractive, and then he dives into the fact that, well, I have a girlfriend, so it was not my intention. It was not what I was looking for. It's evasive, at best, and it's a lame excuse as well. As if, listen, I know we all like to think we're all morally superior than the average bear out there. But, I mean, I think we all can say yes or no to whether or not we find somebody else attractive. And I'm sure that in this situation that Watson thought that saying I have a girlfriend would actually get him out of this little pickle. And I mean, yeah, maybe if you're 8, you know, but now, like, no, I don't buy that for a second.
We know that Deshaun Watson did admit at least to having some consensual relations with some of these women. So the whole I have a girlfriend thing doesn't really hold up to me because he's at least admitted that something happened. But certainly interesting. And hey, I mean, I don't want to say give the guy credit at all, but Deshaun Watson has been consistent in the fact that he says he did not do anything wrong. And he didn't waver. I mean, we talked about this earlier. He did not have any stuttering, tumbling. He sounded very confident that he does not feel he did anything wrong.
Right. Short, sweet, succinct answers along the way. And the part where he's asked about, did you do any homework on these folks? And he just says, I'm not sure. Like, maybe he did, I guess. But saying that he didn't even tell the Texans about it or a trainer about it, if I'm the Texans, I'm just so pissed hearing this, and I'm glad he's gone, because that's just stupid. I mean, you're a bonehead if you're doing stuff like that. You're an NFL athlete. You're getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars. And if they screw this up, what happens? I mean, they could potentially take some of your salary back. Absolutely ridiculous. And there's no defense for that side of it. If I'm the Texans too, I'm thinking to myself, I paid this guy last year. I did everything that I could to accommodate him. And now I'm finding out all the specifics of what the hell was actually going on. Bleep this guy.
Yep. I think people in Houston ready to let Deshaun move on. All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, some Astros news. Plus, Paul Gallant grows as a man in regards to his relationship with the former Houston NBA superstar. Allegedly. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And we are rolling along on a Wednesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. Our producer is the wonderful Sean Mapes. Get at us on Twitter. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Gallant Says. We are talking all things, of course, Texans, NFL, with a little bit of Astros and Rockets sprinkled in here today as well. We talked about the Astros a little bit earlier. They take on the Mets today in spring training as we watch that continue to develop. Justin Verlander, however, per Dusty Baker, the OG, will not be your opening day starter.
Yeah, which
this was surprising to me, Paul.
It's definitely surprising in a way to me as well, but I think that it's probably for the best if he's coming back from an injury to not rush him back out there to be ready for the first day of the year. Because opening day, being the opening day starter, it's definitely one of those things that has a little bit of clout attached to it. But does it really matter, ultimately? If you are the opening day starter or not, it's symbolically a gesture that acknowledges that you are the best pitcher on the staff. I think most people would still agree that Verlander at the top of his game is the Astros' best pitcher, though we still have to see it. He wasn't pitching last year, so maybe he takes a step back or something like that. But for a guy, Vanessa, that wasn't with the clubhouse, wasn't watching games in attendance last year, it would have been a weird look, I think, for Verlander to be that guy because of some of the weird unwritten rules in the clubhouses of baseball. I think that it makes more sense for Framber Valdez to do it. Valdez hasn't officially been announced as the opening day starter, but if Verlander's not the guy, and if we read the schedule going forward, it's a pretty safe bet to assume that because of the way things have been scheduled, that Valdez will be the guy on the opening night.
There was the report, if you remember, that Justin Verlander was supposed to do the first pitch for one of the World Series games and that the Astros clubhouse did not. And that might have been John Granato that had tweeted that during the World Series, that the rest of the clubhouse didn't want that to happen. So I do think there was a disconnect. He was injured and didn't come to any games. But as we know, winning cures all. So if he can get a couple of wins under his belt, I think all will be made right in the world. But certainly interesting that we will not see Justin Verlander, and I am not thinking Lance McCullers Jr. for a while, which is unfortunate. So we'll see what happens opening day. Like I said, the Astros taking on the Mets tonight at spring training.
Yep. And the interesting lineup, and I saw Jeremy Branham tweeting about this, where you have Jose Siri leading off today with Altuve second, Michael Brantley third at the DH, Alex Bregman, Jordan Alvarez, Yuli Gurriel, and then Kyle Tucker before Jeremy Peña and Martin Maldonado wrap things up. It is interesting that Siri is leading off and it's not Kyle Tucker who's up earlier in the order, but it's pretty good. It's a pretty good lineup, and you know, Alex Bregman on his birthday gets the bat cleanup. How about that?
Happy 28th to LSU superstar Alex Bregman, who is currently rocking the bright bleach blonde hair. We got some comments about the fact that you wanted, was it frosted tips when you were in high school?
Yeah, I mean, look, I wanted them. I never had them. I wanted them badly. And the problem was I just didn't have a mom willing to do it. Does my mom love me? I don't know. I mean, maybe. But she didn't want to get me frosted tips. And is this something I'm holding against her still? I don't know. Maybe. It was honestly the right decision. I'm glad that she did not let me get frosted tips. I have a couple of friends who have the frosted tips, and they don't look good. Like, I'm being somewhat sarcastic talking about them. I know I wanted them, but I'm glad there are no pictures of me with frosted tips. The puka shell necklace, though, that was a Paul Gallant thing, 100%.
I took a red Sharpie and dyed the ends of my hair red.
Wow.
Didn't tell my parents, and it absolutely destroyed the ends of my hair.
Really?
I have hair extensions to this day. Now, I've never had really thick, long hair to begin with. Not that I'm bitter about that, even though my sister has long, really thick hair. But I dyed it red with a Sharpie, and it really never bounced back.
Holy crap, that actually happens? Wait, so you could create split ends with markers, and it just ruined your hair forever?
It fried my hair because I kept dyeing it with a Sharpie over and over again. It was not good.
Well, good to know.
Hashtag regrets.
Don't put Hashtag Sharpies regrets. In your hair.
No.
We learn new things. Babies. We learn new things about hair care every day.
Meanwhile, you're learning new things about self-control.
Oh, yeah.
Will Smith, of course, slapping Chris Rock. The slap heard around the world. Even though I was in the hospital with my dad, I did know that that was going on. Because that was such a big story that it was on all of the sports shows. So what are your thoughts on that, as well as how it relates to you and a certain relationship, tumultuous relationship that you have with a former Houston sports superstar?
Well, look, I'm a vessel of love. I think everyone says it's about me all the time. I am.
Yeah.
Also, though, a work in progress, Vanessa. So I have to realize that there are certain elements of me that I need to be better with. So yesterday I was talking about whether or not I'm addicted to talking about some of my sports exes. We talk about Deshaun Watson a lot. Newsflash, that's not stopping anytime soon. Sorry, he just keeps on being in the news. But the other is James Harden, who of course is playing for the Philadelphia 76ers after having quit on a second team in less than 2 years. Wait a second, Paul. Stop being petty. Stop being a jerk. James Harden's fine. He's a human being just trying to live his life, trying to live his best life, in fact. Last night, there was a game between the Milwaukee Bucks, Vanessa, and the Sixers. It's the end of the game. The ball goes to James Harden. He takes a step back. He has a chance, down two.
He does have a chance
to give the Philadelphia 76ers a victory over the defending NBA champs. And he shoots the shot. It goes up. It slowly goes towards the basket. And it misses the rim entirely. And I watched that, Vanessa, and I didn't laugh. And I didn't make fun of James Harden. Did I want to? No. Because I'm a work in progress, but I'm a vessel of love. And I'm getting better as a person.
Were you with anybody? Were you by yourself?
I was by myself, so no one can confirm this. But I watched the highlight, Vanessa, and I didn't jump up out of my chair and start running around the house laughing like a maniac. No, I didn't start rubbing my nips or something like that either. No, I didn't do that. What I did was I just said, you know, he took his best shot and he missed. But that's life, taking a shot and missing. I didn't watch the highlight.
There's no way I believe this.
35 times afterwards? I didn't. No, I haven't been watching it this morning, all morning long. I haven't been not doing show prep because I thought it was hilarious to watch James Harden. I mean, because James Harden missed the shot. You know, he missed it by a good 5 feet. It's fine. He's a professional. That happens from time to time. So I'm a better person.
I will defend you in this way. When you cover an athlete who does make so many excuses, who bounces on the community, who's difficult to interview and who has an attitude, I do understand the pettiness. Do I believe that you actually have evolved? I believe it. I think you've done a lot of
thank
work.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I've been working on myself.
Do I believe, though, that you were totally calm and neutral when you saw James Harden miss that shot?
I was.
Iffy.
I was, though. I'm not. Everyone knows me. Everyone's been saying it. I'm the least petty person ever, you know? Everyone says this all the time. I never been petty once in my life. No.
You love some mess.
I do. Did you see Donald Trump talking about his hole-in-one the other day? Everyone's been talking about it. Everyone has been talking about it. I need to confirm that while I was playing with Ernie Els, I hit a hole-in-one. It was the most hole-in-one that a hole-in-one's ever been. So that's me, I guess, right now. I'm the least petty person ever. Never. I would never slander James Harden.
Anybody from Seattle that's listening to you from your old station just turned you off when you did your Trump impersonation.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Well, listen, if you own your home, listen up, guys. Grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you probably don't shop for better rates because it's a hassle, but it doesn't have to be. Thanks to TGS Insurance, they've built a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds. All you have to do is send a text, and you're going to save a lot of cash. So take your phone and text money to 232323. Their system will ask for your address, send your address back, and you're going to get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from 2021, guys, is saving over $870 a year. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're only a text away from massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's back. I'm Paul. And guess what? We have 4 packs of tickets to give away to the Bon Temps Rouet Cajun Throwdown. Oh, oui. Je parle un peu de français, mais je ne touche pas le français depuis j'ai 19 ans.
Oh, God.
I said, I used to study French, but I haven't studied it since I was 19. Boom. We will be giving away 12 of the 25 4-packs of tickets this week. Each show will be doing one giveaway a day. Information about the giveaway. It's the annual Bon Temps Rouet. Hang on a second. This is copy. Listen, I can't. I'm reading the copy presented to me. I don't know what. It says, hang on a second.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy, 100%. But if you want to go to the Bon Temps Rouet Cajun Throwdown, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. It features world-class Cajun cuisine. It'll be an exciting weekend with a crawfish cook-off, Cajun cuisine, awesome Louisiana Cajun music, and a great family atmosphere. The Bon Temps Rouet Cajun Throwdown will take place the weekend of April 8th and 9th at the good old days Fairgrounds in Hitchcock, Texas. I believe we're going to be there, Vanessa, on that Friday. And it'll be a great way to kick off my own birthday weekend. So let's go. Let's go, baby. It's going to be fun.
Wait, what's your birthday?
April 11th. It's coming around the corner. 33. I call her number 3. You call her
713. Mine's April 16th.
April 16th. We're April? We're Aries? Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. We're going to have a birthday
week.
Are you
one of those
people? Yes, I guess so. I don't know. I've been told this by some of the people that are a little bit obsessed with the signs and stuff. But yeah, call her 3 to 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. The annual Bon Temps Rouet Cajun Throwdown. There you go.
Yum. That was very convincing, by the way.
Well, I spoke French. I was French club president in high school. Did I do anything with that? No, I used it as part of my transcript so I could get into college. Right. It was a fake title. Because that's what you do, guys, in life. You fake your resume until you make it. That's what Jack Easterby did.
So that is literally what Jack Easterby did. All right. So the slap heard around the world. The conversations have continued around, of course, Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. And while some of it is overdrawn, it did bring up a really interesting sports question that they had run on Good Morning Football, which I thought was interesting. And I'm interested in our listeners and our viewers' viewpoint on this. After watching the Oscar slap, what are your most something that happened during the game? It can be something like, of course, like Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake. What are your most shocking sports moments after the Oscar slap? Tweet us. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Gallant Says, or you can hit us up on the text line or our Twitch. The text line number is, of course, 713-780-3776.
Now, does it have to be something that you saw live? Because
It does not have to be.
Okay. I missed
because
out.
Because I think that there are a lot of examples of things that did not happen live.
Like the one you just mentioned. Janet Jackson's nip slip / wardrobe malfunction, whatever you want to call it. Actually, it wasn't a nip. It was like a full boob slip.
It was a full boob.
Vanessa, I was out back playing basketball at halftime of the Patriots-Panthers with one of my buddies because I just didn't care about the halftime show. I was like, oh, Justin Timberlake, who cares? I'm Backstreet Boys for life.
Oh, God. You didn't care about Justin Timberlake?
I was 14. You know, no, I didn't care.
I loved.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, you're probably looking for him to go out there and do some of his stuff. But yeah, I missed it totally. And I came back. And since we were kids, like none of the parents told us what happened. So we found out the next day, like at school, like Mike and I, my friend Mike Lodigiani and I, we were watching the game. We had no clue it happened. None until the next day. Like the parents didn't want anyone to know. Like I think they were really happy that all the kids were in the backyard playing basketball. So, and especially, you know, 14-year-old boys, might be a little bit kind of weird to have them see something like that on TV. So I didn't see that. I would say last year, Vanessa, just Antonio Brown taking off.
Yeah, that was a big one.
His jersey, his shoulder pads, and just leaving the game. Like I don't think anything can top that. I suppose it's not that surprising since it was Antonio Brown who did it. But for me, that's definitely what first came to mind when you ask this question. Like the most shocking thing.
Todd the Show says Dale Earnhardt dying. Yes, that was awful. And then Mike Tyson biting the ear. Those two are tops for me. Yep.
Didn't see those live
those
either.
Good ones.
Yeah, the NASCAR stuff is just sad. And also F1 too, when you see these crashes. I mean, you don't watch for the crash. You're watching probably because you like racing. When they happen, it's incredible that these guys put themselves in these small little boxes and they're going hundreds of miles per hour and there's no space on the road between them and other people. Like it, and this isn't like driving on, I don't know, 610 or I-10 where you have crazy road ragers and stuff going all over the place. You're a bunch of cars that are all competing with each other and driving like madmen. So yeah, that obviously would have been
watching Dan Weldon. That one live was sad. We'll get to more of that.
Malice
so
in
let
the
us
Palace.
Know. Tweet us, text us. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's a good one.
That's one of my main ones.
Yeah,
around the
Indiana.
NFL, checking out some more NFL news. Jameis Winston, not the only quarterback on the New Orleans Saints.
Nope.
Andy Dalton, of course, Katy native, went to Katy High School and then TCU, has agreed to a 1-year contract with the Saints, $3 million guaranteed and a maximum value of $6 million. I've said for a while, I think Andy Dalton is not a starter. I think he needs to just settle into that backup quarterback life. But a great guy, Houston area native, and he has now found a home in New Orleans.
It was weird what Chicago tried to do with him last year, given how he had looked in relief duty for the Dallas Cowboys for Dak Prescott the year before. It was very clear that Andy Dalton no longer had it. But I did get a kick out of some of the greater moments of Andy Dalton's career, like the time that J.J. Watt pick-sixed him to win that
Never
playoff
forget.
Game, right? But also the time where J.J. Watt, after they beat the Bengals in a primetime game, where J.J. Watt got a microphone and he decided to go all like John Cena, I guess. We just made the red-headed rifle look like a red rifle BB gun. Yeah, it was very just cringe. I mean, that was maybe one of the moments that we could throw up there with like Malice in the Palace. When J.J. Watt talked trash to Andy Dalton, Katie Legend. Very problematic.
J.J. Watt talking trash. Meanwhile, Colts owner Jim Irsay made it clear that he was done with Carson Wentz a long time ago.
Did you love hearing this?
I'm not a Carson Wentz fan. Yeah, I'm not a Carson Wentz fan, and I wasn't from the beginning. I didn't think that they should have brought him in from the beginning. I think that that was a situation where Frank Reich was trying to make something out of nothing. I know he had a relationship with Carson Wentz, but Wentz had just had his worst year in the NFL. So it was made clear that at the owners' meetings, Jim Irsay said, "I wish Carson well. I think he has a chance to go into a different environment and play great in Washington. But for us, it was something we had to move away from as a franchise. It was very obvious." So, it doesn't get any more plain and simple than that.
He took shots at Wentz, and he said, like, we appreciate what he did. But, I mean, it was obvious, very obvious we had to move on from him. I'm extremely grateful to the football gods on where we are now compared to where we were. And then he also took a shot at the Jaguars, and I saw some Jaguar player just get absolutely pissed off at this. No disrespect to Jacksonville, but I mean, they're the worst team in the league. I mean, if you play well for the first quarter, you know, they're probably going to go to the locker room. Not entirely inaccurate. I'm here for Jim Irsay talking like this. You know, it would be nice if more owners actually put their name on things. And yeah, just saying that the Jaguars suck, you shouldn't lose to the Jaguars. He's right. They should not have lost that game.
We love the AFC South drama, and I agree with you on owners. I love when Mark Cuban comes out and talks about things with the Dallas Mavericks. When Steve Cohen, the New York Mets owner, goes on his weird Twitter rants, I'm always here for it. So definitely interesting conversations, of course, from the owners' meetings as well. New overtime rules have been approved, and this has been a conversation starter. This really ramped up after the Chiefs-Bills playoff game, of course, of which the Chiefs won the playoff coin toss. I said coin toss right that time and ended up winning the game. 10 out of 12 teams that won the coin toss since 2010 in playoff overtime have won. So I think that this was the right move because both teams will now get a chance at possession with the playoffs when it comes to overtime. I personally would have been in favor, I think, in regular season and playoff of just adding another quarter. Mm-hmm. That would be my preference, but it didn't seem like that was ever going to happen.
Your solution was the better one. It maybe makes the end of games a little anticlimactic, and we were dissecting that a bit yesterday. But it does feel like the NFL is reacting to a bunch of whining in doing this. And I thought Jerome Solomon nailed it in the column that he had in the Chronicle about this, where legitimately, because the Bills and their fans were like, oh, we didn't get a chance in overtime. That's why this happened. Okay, well, what if the Bills got a possession and they score a touchdown? We're right back to where we were before. And if the Chiefs win, guess what? Because they won the coin toss, and if they score, we're having the exact same wine fest, I'd imagine, maybe to a lesser degree. I get it. Defenses can make stops. I think that, though, the game has been moved in a place where if you're on defense, by that point in the game, going up against some of these quarterbacks who can extend plays, where you can't touch any wide receivers, where offensive linemen can get away with false starts, where the team can get away with delay of games, there are so many things that are up against a already tired defense that I just don't expect defenses to make stops at that point of a game. I don't. I think that the offense has the leg up on a defense towards the end, and I think that the only way to make it so that perhaps the coin toss is a lot closer to 50-50 as far as who wins is to make things defensively so that it's back to where it was in the early 2000s. Because it's, I think, just really tough sledding for any defensive player these days.
One of our folks on Twitch said 15 more minutes will increase injury potential. That's why I never thought that they would do it. That's what I mean by I did never think there would be a chance. But at the same time, does that not make... they already added another game last season.
And it's the playoffs, too. I mean, look, it's football. Injuries are always possible. And does the NFL actually care about injuries? No, they care about whining from fans. They care about complaints. They care about the suggestion box in certain degrees, but they don't give a damn about whether or not the players get hurt. No, they don't care.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we put a bow on a Wednesday, but we want to know your most shocking moments that you watched. This was motivated on Good Morning Football. Will Smith getting slapped, of course, Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. What are the most shocking moments in sports you remember? We've heard Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake. We've heard Malice at the Palace. What say you? That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Wednesday. We've asked the people, what's the craziest sports moment that you saw that kind of reminds you of the slap heard around the world? Of course, Chris Rock getting slapped by Will Smith. Here's some of the answers that we've gotten so far. I said Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. We've had a couple of those as well. We saw and heard a couple people say Richard Sherman and Aaron Andrews, that interview, of course, when he said, keep my name out of your mouth. And then 8577 on the text line says Andre Johnson wailing on Portland Finnegan. Yeah,
yeah, that one escalated really quickly. I would also make an argument for Myles Garrett smacking Mason Rudolph on the head with his helmet, or trying to. Honestly, you know, I don't know what Mason Rudolph said. I didn't want to see Mason Rudolph in the game anymore, so I don't really have a problem with what happened. People got really mad at me when I said that in Seattle. Whatever. I don't care. You know, if people were acting as if he committed, like, murder. I don't know. Mason Rudolph might have said something. I tend to lean with Myles Garrett on that one. Anyway, we actually have a call on this one, Vanessa. So 713-780.
Ooh, let's hear it.
3776-713-780 ESPN. Juan is in Cyprus. Juan, what's up, bud?
Hey, guys. The one that I remember that I won't forget the rest of my life, when soccer star Christian Eriksen actually died on the field, cardiac arrest, and was brought back, a Danish superstar that played for my favorite team, Tottenham Hotspur.
Didn't he score a goal this week or something, too? Because I think he's back out. And he's been gone for what, like almost a year or so? I think he was back out there yesterday.
Yes, that's true.
That's
he's
nuts.
Still alive.
Good for him. Good for him.
Wow.
He's able to get back out there. Yeah, that's scary. When stuff like that takes place, and appreciate the phone call, Juan, when you see something like that, you don't expect that ever. I'm sure that whoever watched the Boston Celtics game where Reggie Lewis collapsed on the court and ended up dying, like that, it's like, what the hell? You know, so there's some dark ones, obviously, too, that take place from time to time. But
1496 saying Owen Hart and WWE falling from the rafters. Also heard Malice at the Palace. That's definitely Malice at the Palace is one that I don't think a lot of us up here in the Midwest can forget. This one was interesting, too. This one was on Good Morning Football. Buddy Ryan punches Kevin Gilbride. This was, of course, the Houston Oilers game on the Oilers sideline. So Peter Schrager had brought this up on NFL Network. Paul, this was before you and I's time, but I think a lot of our Houston natives will remember that for sure.
Oh, no doubt. And look, Buddy Ryan was an a-hole. I mean,
right?
No one. I feel like ever could think up off the top of their head like a warm, fuzzy memory that they had with that Hardo. So I'm curious as to what led up to that. There's a really good documentary that the NFL Network did. It was one of those NFL Films presentation. I think it's called Houston '93, and it just talks about that 1993 season and all the drama that was on that team. Like, that, as far as messes go, I mean, that was an entertaining mess. I can't even imagine what that team, how the coverage of it would have been in the social media age. Because, good God, what a crazy one.
We got Bob Knight throwing the chair. Absolutely.
Yeah. But, I mean, that one with Bob Knight, I kind of feel like that's routine. And maybe I'm wrong thinking that way, but like, oh, wow, Bob Knight threw a chair on the court. Okay, fine, we move on. The game stops for a couple of minutes as they get the chair back off of it. Woody Hayes smacking that player. I forget who it was for, but Ohio State's playing in a big time game and someone came on the sideline and Woody Hayes smacked him and then he was out of coaching after that.
8755 says Kubiak when he had a stroke. Was that a stroke or a heart attack?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Because it was when he played the Colts. It was when they played the Colts.
I remember I was there, and everyone was talking about how he was going to the hospital. And that was the game, too, where Case Keenum like lit it up in the first half. And then Wade Phillips came in the second half, and the Colts ended up rallying and winning. Yeah, that was certainly a weird night. It's getting a little morbid as far as the memories of the shocking things that we've seen at sporting events. So I'm not saying like, hey.
Well,
like,
mine involved a boob. Mine involved Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. But
more
we
boob talk, guys.
You guys.
Come on.
What you guys have to say is your most shocking sports moments. And yeah, maybe a little more lighthearted of when like Chris Rock gets slapped by Will Smith. I still think it could have been staged because I am the conspiracy theorist out of you and I. And last year, the Oscars ratings were record low. And this year that changed.
But he was
Heller.
He was afterwards just so distraught. And Chris Rock was clearly, if there was a staging that took place, like Chris Rock wasn't in on it. It is funny hearing yesterday that the Oscars said, we're going to conduct our own investigation into this. Like what? How to use violence? How to get ratings through violence? Hey, next year, let's have someone punch Liza Minnelli out of her wheelchair. Like, I don't know. Like, what is it? What are they going to do next? I feel like the investigation is going to be like, how do we exploit violence? It's not going to be about like what we do to Will Smith. What are you going to do? Take his trophy away? Oh, no. Will Smith's going to be suspended from the Oscars for the first 2 hours, but the last hour he can come out? No, they're going to have sanctions on him. Shut up. You don't have any power.
And just to be clear, Will Smith went to a club after the party and rapped his song Getting Jiggy with it. So he was not that distraught about it.
Yeah, definitely not. The earthquake during the World Series. Yeah. Between the A's and the Giants. What was that 1993 as well? Or was it 1989? Nancy Kerrigan. Oh, yeah.
Tanya, that's a good one.
Tanya Harding just took a lead pipe. Or excuse me, Tanya Harding, dang it. But some random goon who was one of Tanya Harding's guys, allegedly, just took a lead pipe to Nancy Kerrigan's leg. And I don't think that Kerrigan even suffered like a serious injury, but she ended up not doing her best in the rest of it. Did you know I have a scar on my forehead from Nancy Kerrigan's cousin, Vanessa?
Like, wait, what?
Right in the middle of my forehead. Yeah, we were playing tag in at St. Paul's Elementary, which is where I went to elementary school. We were playing in a park. There was a statue, and me and Michael Kerrigan were running as fast as we could. We were like the two fastest kids in our grade, you know,
no big deal.
And he was laughing while running, and we collided. So our heads hit each other, and his two front teeth went directly into my forehead. And I shattered his front teeth into like 8 or 9 pieces, and they were adult teeth. And I saw my skull. That was messed up. So I got rushed to the emergency room afterwards, and my dad was out of town, so it turned into this big thing like between my parents, which it shouldn't have been because it was my own fault for running, I guess. And they stitched it up, but it got infected. So my face swelled up like a balloon.
What?
So they had to take me back to the hospital to unstitch it and clean it up. And then there was another infection, but it was mild. So I had to stay for a little bit. And then like, I think it was 2 weeks later, I was out of school for like a month. They eventually came back and they like glued it shut with this like weird orange paste. It was crazy.
Wait, where's your scar? So
it's right in the middle of my forehead, right? It's right here. You can kind of see it still.
That this is Tanya, this is Nancy Kerrigan's cousin?
Yeah, 100%. It's a Kerrigan.
Wow.
100%. No, I mean, listen, like everyone, all the Catholics families with like Irish last names in Massachusetts, they're probably related to each other. There's a lot of them.
Who would have thought?
Definitely 100% that they are cousins right there. I don't think we have time to get to this one, but geez, how do we forget this? During the NBA Finals, Vanessa, O.J. Simpson getting chased in a car. It was the Rockets.
That's a great point.
It was the Rockets and Knicks in the NBA Finals, right? And all of a sudden, we can't watch the game because of OJ. Like, sorry, hard pass on the OJ chase. I want to watch the game. Thank you.
2568 says, no love for Rudy T and his punch in the face. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. That one. I guess less people would have been watching back then, probably.
Right.
Because it was a different era of basketball where, you know, I think that was just when all of basketball was starting to televise every single game. But yeah, that one was pretty nuts.
Your biggest sports moment that compares to the Oscars, the slap heard around the world. Mine, of course, Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake. But we've had a lot of good ones, Paul.
Yeah, we have. These have been good suggestions.
And just the one that we wanted to hear from, Brittany Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes' wife, said, "You don't slap someone," to which people on Twitter absolutely eviscerated her. Don't talk about public etiquette.
I don't want to read those comments because I'm sure a lot of people said, like, "You should be slapped." Like, these just complete jackasses were probably doing that. Look, she's annoying, but, like, calm down a little bit.
People are mean. All right, that is the end of our Wednesday show. Thanks for hanging with us, and thanks, everybody, for the warm welcome back. Really appreciate it, and it meant a lot. I'll be back in studio soon, and certainly appreciate Paul for holding it down and working so hard the last couple of days. Coming up next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, you're going to hear Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees. Have a great day, guys.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.